Chapter 33, Spain, Portugal, and the New World, The Slave Trade. When Ferdinand and Isabella paid for the ships that took Columbus, Amerigo Vespucci, and many other explorers across the Atlantic Ocean, they weren't just being kind. They hoped to make money from this new world. When Columbus landed in America, he claimed the country for Spain. That meant that the king and queen of Spain were saying, "We have the right to send ships to this country, to establish new cities on it, and to take any gold and treasure that we discover here." Of course, other countries wanted a part of the New World as well. Portugal also sent explorers to the New World. Soon the Spanish and the Portuguese were both sending ships across the Atlantic. They hoped to build new cities on the coasts of the American continents and also on the islands just off South America, which they called the West Indies. But the land where they wanted to settle was already occupied by native tribes. Soon Spanish and Portuguese soldiers, called conquistadors, were fighting with the Aztecs, the Mayans, and the Incas who lived in Central and South America. They fought with the Native Americans who lived on the islands of the West Indies, and the Spanish and Portuguese also fought with each other. Finally, Spain and Portugal made a deal. They agreed to divide the land in Central and South America. From now on, Spanish soldiers would claim some of the land, while the Portuguese would settle their colonists in other parts of the new country. This was the beginning of a very sad time in history. The Spanish and the Portuguese didn't treat the people of Central and South America well. Instead of making treaties with them, they marched into the cities of the Aztecs and Incas and into the villages of the Mayans and killed thousands of people. They destroyed temples, houses, and palaces. They built Spanish settlements and claimed the land as their own. But as the Spanish and Portuguese began to live in their new settlements, they realized that they needed more help. They needed farmers to grow crops to feed the colonists who would come and live in the new cities. They needed miners to help them dig gold out of the ground, and they needed rowers to help pull their heavy ships across the water as they went back and forth between Europe and the New World. The easiest way to get this help was to buy slaves. After all, you didn't have to pay a slave any money. Once you bought a slave, he had to work for you until he died. So the Spanish and Portuguese began to buy slaves from the Muslim traders who lived in North Africa. For many years, these Muslim traders had bought slaves from the West African empires of Ghana, Mali, and Songhai. Slavery was a part of life in these empires. Sometimes poor men would sell themselves as slaves so that their families could have more money. More often, the generals and kings of West Africa would capture enemy soldiers in battle and then sell them to the Muslim traders. These slaves didn't have a good life, but at least they still lived in Africa. And sometimes they were given a chance to buy their freedom back or to earn liberty after years of faithful service. But when the Spanish and Portuguese bought slaves, they took these slaves halfway around the world, far, far away from their African homes. And the slaves taken to the New World had no chance of ever becoming free. The demand for slaves soon became huge. Muslim traders who bought slaves from the Africans could no longer provide enough slaves. When this happened, the Spanish and Portuguese made slaves out of the Central American tribes, and they also decided to get their own African slaves. Spanish and Portuguese ships sailed down the West African coast and dropped anchor. They sent parties of armed men into West African villages and kidnapped the villagers. These Africans weren't men who had been captured in battle. They were ordinary villagers, men, women, and even small children. They were put into chains, packed onto ships, and taken on the long, rough journey to the West Indies and to the coasts of Central and South America. The journey, which took months, became known as the Middle Passage. Slaves on the Middle Passage weren't allowed up on the decks of the ships, so they went for months without any fresh air or sunshine. They weren't given enough to eat or drink. Many died on the long, wretched journey. And when they did arrive in the New World, they were forced to work without any hope of ever escaping this new and horrible life. The slave trade helped the Europeans to build new, wealthy colonies in the New World. But it also killed hundreds of thousands of West Africans. And it even turned the West African people against each other. Some West African tribes realized that they could make a lot of money by selling other Africans as slaves. So they began to kidnap members of other West African tribes to sell to the white slave traders. The slave trade continued for over 200 years. You see, at this time in history, many people in Europe believed that people with dark skin weren't as human as people with light skins. They thought of dark-skinned people the way you or I think of a horse or a dog. So Europeans often treated the brown-skinned people of South America and the black-skinned people of West Africa as if they were not really human at all. Cortez and Montezuma. When the Spanish came to Central America, they discovered that the Aztecs were already ruling an empire there. Before the Spanish conquistadors could settle down, they would have to conquer the Aztecs, and the Aztecs were skillful, fierce warriors. But when the Spanish first arrived, the Aztecs didn't realize they were being invaded. They thought they were being visited by the gods. The story starts when a Spanish adventurer named Hernan Cortez came to the West Indies, the islands east of Central America. He had hoped to find his fortune in the Spanish colonies there, but he was disappointed. There wasn't very much money in the West Indies, but Cortez heard rumors that over on the mainland of Central America, a fantastically wealthy king ruled over a city with streets made of gold and walls made of jewels. So Cortez collected a band of soldiers to go with him, loaded Spanish war horses onto a ship, and sailed to the coast of Central America. When his ship anchored, the tribes who lived near the water came out to see who these new visitors were. But when Cortez and his men unloaded their horses from their ships and rowed them ashore, the Indians scattered in terror. They had never seen horses before. They thought each horse and rider was a huge monster with 6 feet, 2 arms, and 2 heads. These Indians spread the word all through the mainland, "Monsters are coming! Perhaps they are the gods!" And Cortez and his men plunged into the Central American jungles, searching for the city of gold. They came closer and closer to the edge of the Aztec Empire. The Aztecs who lived on the border of the empire weren't entirely sure who these visitors were. So they came out with gifts for Cortez and his men, wheels of gold as high as a man's waist, golden shields, and buckets full of gold dust. When Cortez saw these gifts, he was more convinced than ever that great treasure was just beyond his reach. He ordered his men, "Keep on! The city of gold is still ahead of us!" Meanwhile, the Aztecs who brought the gifts sent messages back to their capital city, Tenochtitlan. "The visitors are approaching," they warned, and they described Cortez, his men, and their armor. The king of the Aztecs, Montezuma, listened to these descriptions carefully. He wondered, could this be the god Quetzalcoatl on his way back to Tenochtitlan? Ancient Aztec prophecy said that the god Quetzalcoatl would return 500 years after leaving his people, and according to the Aztec calendar, the 500 years was almost up. Also, the description of Cortez sounded like the carved pictures of Quetzalcoatl on the temple walls. By chance, the helmet Cortez wore was shaped like Quetzalcoatl's hat. When Montezuma dreamed one night that Quetzalcoatl was approaching to claim his throne, his mind was made up. The god was on his way. So when Cortez and his men arrived, Montezuma threw open the city gates and welcomed him in. Cortez didn't see streets of gold and jeweled walls, but there was plenty of gold in Tenochtitlan. For 8 months, Cortez and his men lolled about in the city, enjoying the luxury and stashing away gold jewelry and treasure for themselves. But Cortez's men began to get bored. They started quarreling with the Aztec priests. A fight broke out, and several Aztecs were killed. When Montezuma and his men saw the bodies of their friends, they shouted, "Quetzalcoatl would never behave in this way!" They armed themselves and began to battle with the intruders. After the fighting raged up and down the city streets, in and out of the palace, Montezuma was killed. Cortez and his men were driven back into Montezuma's royal palace. They locked themselves in, but now they were surrounded by fierce Aztec warriors waiting for them to emerge. What would the Spanish do now? They waited and waited. They waited for days inside the palace. Late one night, one of the lookouts hissed, "The square around the palace is empty." Cortez peered out. Sure enough, the streets were still. The city seemed to be deserted. Perhaps another war had drawn the Aztec warriors away. Cortez and his men stuffed their pockets with all the gold they could carry and tiptoed out of the palace. Around them, the city lay quiet beneath a bright moon. They hurried along the stone-paved streets towards the nearest gate. The gate was open, but the timbers that would fill the moat were missing. Water stretched between their feet and the beginning of the raised road that led to the lake shore. "Quick," Cortez hissed, "find wood, anywhere you can. Let's build a bridge." Their hands shaking with haste, the men ripped wood from nearby buildings and built a makeshift bridge. They lowered it over the gap and began to file across. Suddenly they heard a whoop. The water around them was filled with canoes, and each canoe had an armed Aztec warrior in it. They had walked into the Aztec trap. The Spaniards tried to fight back, but they were so weighted down with the gold that the ones who fell into the water of Lake Texcoco drowned. Only Cortez and a few of his best soldiers escaped. They limped back to the ocean under cover of dark and pushed their ships back out into the water. Cortez had to return to the West Indies beaten. But he wasn't finished yet. He collected new men, new horses, and carpenters. With this fresh force, he sailed back over the shore of the mainland and marched back towards Tenochtitlan. On his way, he convinced other tribes to join him in his war against the Aztecs. Many of the villagers who lived near Aztec land had been raided by Aztec warriors who kidnapped their young men and women and took them back to Tenochtitlan for human sacrifices. They were very willing to help Cortez fight against the city. When Cortez arrived at Lake Texcoco, he had his carpenters build 12 small warships right there on the shore of the lake. He loaded these ships with soldiers and launched them into the water. The Aztec canoes poured out into the lake to meet him. The siege of Tenochtitlan had begun. The battle went on for 3 months, but Cortez had collected almost 100,000 Spanish soldiers and Indian allies. He cut off all access to the shore so that the city began to run out of food and water. At last, the city of Tenochtitlan was forced to surrender. Cortez marched into the city and took over. Now he was the governor of the new Spanish colony in Central America.